Welcome to From Betrayal to Breakthrough. I'm Dr. Debbie Silber, and today's guest is Dr. Karen Louise. Dr. Karen is an award-winning author, speaker, master life coach, soul guide, and course creator with a PhD in counseling and education. She blends 20 years of practice and research with her spiritual gifts as a medium, intuitive, and channel to guide people through mind-blowing transformations. She is obsessed with helping people release the programming of the past, remember who they are, and tap into the power and purpose that they're here to enjoy in all levels of their lives while having the time of their lives. Her retreats have brought healing and transformation to hundreds of men and women ready to live their purpose. You're about to hear about a powerful transformation. My guest, Dr. Karen Louise, has every right to be bitter, angry, and resentful after two painful betrayals. Instead, she did the work and has become a force of nature. Think you can't heal and you'll never bounce back after your experience? Listen in as Karen shows us how to bounce back even better than before. Here we go. Okay, everybody. I am with Karen Louise today. We are talking about letting go and finding freedom. And after we've been betrayed, whether it's from a family member, partner, friend, coworker, self, this is so what we need to be focusing on. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to see where this conversation goes. Lots to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So of course, there must be some sort of story or something that would give you this area of expertise. So share with us a bit where you came from.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, the story is why I do what I do now, because of the betrayal. And I started a life, I was going to be a teacher, and I was in school to teach little kids. And then I met this professional athlete. He wasn't professional at the time, but I met this guy that rocked my world. We ended up getting married right after I graduated from college. And I thought I was going to be a baseball wife and have two kids by the time I was 25 and a few golden retrievers. And I had it all set up, right? This was 25 years ago. 27 years ago, because I'm 53 now. So that marriage went pretty well for a while, and then he ended up making the big leagues, and we lived this grand life under the spotlight, and he ended up becoming super famous here in Atlanta. And what comes along with that very often is a lot of opportunities and a lot of women. And so fast forward a few years, I ended up finding out that there were just a host of affairs. I won't go into all the details, but to say that my world was rocked. Of course, it's funny how we summarize like years and in like a few sentences, but my world was rocked. I was 28 it's funny. I've heard you on your show talk about D-Day a lot. And that's exactly what I wrote on my calendar. That's what it was called, D-Day, when I got the phone call from the husband of one of the women that he was having an affair with. And then they just started coming and coming and coming. And this is before cell phones. This is when just we had beepers. And but it was like an avalanche. And I guess something that we could go towards is what ended up happening for me, which I ended up writing a book called The Fatherless Daughter Project later. And what ended up happening was my unhealed childhood trauma came up because my dad did a similar thing to my mom. So there I was, and all the unhealed trauma that had gone underground. And that's what I found in my own research, that oftentimes that's what happens. And then you go through the betrayal, right? And then all that stuff that's buried in the basement erupts like a volcano. And I was not well, like suicidal, depressed, went on all the medications, and got into really deep therapy. And he ended up marrying a woman that he was having an affair with, and there was multiple pregnancies, and I was struggling with infertility. So another piece that was really traumatizing for me.
And I want to stop you right there, because anybody who's been through it, they know the devastation. They know it absolutely changes your world. Nothing is the same. And there are those, that was one of the three discoveries during my study, that there one of them was that there are these physical, mental, and emotional symptoms that come into betrayal. It's now known as post-betrayal syndrome. So if you were to look back at that time, what would have been some of those symptoms you were struggling with? Because I always want the listeners and viewers to see where someone was so they can appreciate the journey and that transformation, knowing that, yes, not only was it this, heartbreaking, soul-crushing hit, but it really affected you on many levels. So what was going on? Like, what kind of symptoms did you have?
Gosh, well, it's been a while now since that happened, but I think that, my main symptoms were, emotional. I mean, I, I got severely depressed. I mean, now I know as a clinician, I didn't know then, like I stopped producing serotonin. I stopped feeling well. I stopped feeling like myself. I was anxious. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Like I just, I like lost 25 pounds. I ended up weighing, I think, 98 pounds. I mean, the pictures from back then, and I stayed, right? So I stayed and tried to work it out. We went to therapy and I like every picture from back then, I'm like gaunt and my hair was falling out. And I'm sure I had gut issues. I was so devastated and so lost. Like it was I'm so glad that you point out how the grief process is so different. It's similar to death, but it's very different because it's very, very personal. And you personalize all of it. And then I'm like, what did I do wrong? And, you know, my dad left me and now my husband's going to leave. And he ended up leaving. He actually had to file for divorce on me because I was like determined to make this marriage work. And it just exploded all over and it was all over the news. And so, and I was only 28 years old and I had no coping skills. I didn't know how to deal with this. And there were just a ton of variables going on. But what was also really debilitating was the litigation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very personal, but anyone of your listeners that goes through litigation, that is, it's talk about it becoming ultra personal. Like then there's this like attack squad on you. And so that actually devastated me almost more than the betrayal. It was interesting because they tried to blame me for it. And then all those fears that I was wrong, like it was this very narcissistic experience. Like he was a narcissist and then he had a narcissistic attorney. And there I was like 28 years old trying to defend myself. Yeah. And all those fears that I had, like it was so that system, I'm not a fan of when that happens because I was then in a position of defending who I was, right? So I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And I want to honor that that is extremely devastating to go through. And it's another just layer. It's another layer of trauma. But through it, you know, I ended up deciding I wanted to understand how people could do this. I wanted to understand what was going on with the human psyche. I wanted to understand trauma. So I went back to school and I was just going to get my master's. And I thought, well, I was kind of counseling all my friends and my therapist was like, why don't you become a therapist? You're like doing this for everybody else and you seem to have insight. So I got my master's and then I really enjoyed it. And I really loved research. And again, like it was a side of myself I didn't know because I was a baseball wife. I was a teacher. Like I was like this little, like quiet kind of leading all the Bible studies, standing where I was supposed to stand and following all the rules the church had taught me. And then when I went back to school, I decided to go on and get my PhD. So I started a program, I finished it in counseling and education. And what happened was I started having these huge breakthroughs. Like it opened just this whole new world for me that it really catalyzed a transformation of understanding, you know, being raised in this really small town, marrying like my college sweetheart. And all of a sudden, right, like I'm studying about diversity and world views and all this stuff. So I kind of had a mental awakening, right? So in that, I got remarried again. And I married someone that was kind of the polar opposite. Mm-hmm. And I thought I kind of wrapped around a story of, and I really, by then I was like 36, 37 years old. Well, 35, we got married when I was 36 and I really wanted kids and I gave him an ultimatum and I really wanted the story. Mm. And we had three kids pretty quickly. I used fertility and boom, boom, boom. Within 2 years I had twins and then one. And I realized that I was not in love with this person and he was not in love with me. We were really in love with the story. Yeah. And, then I found out that, he was betraying me. He had kind of told me that he was a certain kind of person and there was deceit in kind of who he presented. But then I found out I was being defrauded and there I was with three little babies. And another D-Day came when I realized something was going on with my accounts and he had kind of gotten me to loan him a bunch of money and then he got access to my accounts. And then I realized part of why he married me was because he got access to my accounts and I was had three little babies. Yeah.
Right. And I just want to stop you there again, because now here you could have made this mean anything, right? And it's right. Easy to make it mean it must be me because it keeps happening, you know?
Totally.
Right. So how did you make sense of that? And then I just want to know what you did sort of mentally and emotionally to, you know, to make sense of that. And then what'd you do to get out of that mess and then continue?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it all plays into where I am now. So Well, I stayed for longer than I should have. But then what I ended up having to kind of do is kind of investigate while we were still in the house. And if anyone's been through this, like I was told by the attorneys, so, and I had three babies and one of them was medically fragile, which is a whole nother story. But I was at the doctor's office all the time. So I was in survival mode. So honestly, at that time, I just survived. So to talk about physical symptoms, my hair started falling out again. I literally could not digest food. Again, I lost 20 pounds. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't sleep. All of it came back. Mm-hmm. And all of my like negative coping mechanisms came back. And I was in this like knee deep trauma of, oh my God, here I was as professional because I'd already gotten the doctorate. And here I was in this situation where how did I not see this? Right. And I know people have, and you know, betrayal happens in different ways. And this was a financial betrayal. And in it, you know, I was kind of bullied into agreeing to this dynamic and we were living on opposite sides of the house. And, you know, I finally had, so here's what happened. I had someone really close to me, took her life and it was the cataclysmic event that projected me into like this spiritual awakening that I had. I started having supernatural experiences. And so what happened was I started recognizing that I was responsible for my own life. Mm-hmm. I was given the book about victim consciousness. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, like, yes, this is happening to me, but I have a mindset that I'm a victim. And I kind of brought that out of my last marriage and this has played out again. And I took it out of my like being brought up in a system in a home where I saw my mom victimized by my dad. Mm-hmm. I am playing this out over and over. And I was in that mentality. And what I realized was I really needed to shift who I was on the inside. Now this is being summed up very succinctly, but this is years of work. I had to decide whether or not I could stay in that situation where I was literally, I think that I probably would have gotten cancer and died within a few years. Like talk about symptoms, like,
And a few things about that. It's, you know, it takes those cataclysmic events to wake us up so often. I mean, it would be so nice if we could be like, you know, something just feels a little bit off. And then we go on this amazing journey to healing. It doesn't usually happen. Yeah. So here's where a crisis serves in an amazing way. And I'm so sorry about your friend. Tell us though, because I know everybody listening, watching wants to know, well, what did you do to get out of that? If you're so used to being the victim and having that victim consciousness, which is out of the five stages from betrayal to breakthrough, that's stage three, that's the one everybody stays in for life. How did you recognize you were there? And then what'd you do to get out of it?
Yeah. And for everyone that's there, like it's, I mean, I'm a smart woman. Like it was, this is not, I mean, it doesn't mean you're not smart. It means I feel like there's programming and there's imprinting, right? So it is a matter of, I realize now I had to reprogram what was imprinted on me. And I had to choose to believe that I was in control of my own life. And it meant that I could not stay in that relationship because because I know your story is different. If someone's willing to grow and transform and do that work on their own, like that is necessary. Mm-hmm. But when you have a partner, so what I ended up doing was I ended up diving really deeply into spiritual studies, looking at soul contracts, soul agreements, vibration, energy. And so I started realizing that I owned this vibrational field that I was carrying. I owned who I was agreeing, what I was allowing. Mm-hmm. I also had to learn, chose to learn, because it's always a choice, that this whole kind of role that was put on me, my mom was a pastor. I was raised in a very conservative church that was very much about sacrificing who you are, you know, don't speak up, you literally martyr your own happiness for who you're with. So I had played that out. And what I realized was the most spiritual thing you can do is put yourself first. I don't mean narcissistic. I don't mean not helping others. I mean, when you're martyring who you are at the loss of your own, literally your own identity, that is not what you were put here to do. So I kind of had to undo what I thought was true about being a Christian and reform my idea of spirituality, which then led to the steps I took as I continued.
And I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of the things we see all the time where we're just bombarded with these ideas and these beliefs that the only way to be a good person is taking care of everyone else at our own expense, putting ourselves completely last, you know, and of course we burn out as a result. We never take care of our own needs. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands what Karin just said was about putting herself first. It's not selfish. It's self-preservation. Think about it. The more you care for yourself, the more you have to give, the better you feel. It's like watering your own garden. Well, things are going to grow, you know, as opposed to just being so busy, just taking care of everything and everyone else. So just wanted to make sure everybody, you know, knew that. Okay. So keep going. So now here you are, you're realizing I need to take care of myself. I'm diving deep into this spiritual thing and the whole soul contract thing. That's real. And those of you who know my story, it was a soul contract. So was there something that you learned as far as a soul contract for you, or tell us what you learned?
Well, the risk of it being a super woo, what I learned as, so that divorce happened. So it's been 9 years since that event happened in 2014. And that's when I woke up, and all your points are so true, because putting yourself first, it's not selfish. It's actually sacred. And you know, you cannot be the best you for the world until you are stepping into the greatness that you're here to embody. And you know, when we agree to being self-sacrificial, and I'm not talking about helping those in need, because that can serve you in a beautiful way. When it serves you until it doesn't, you know, and that can be, if you're sacrificing financially, energetically usually is what it is. You know, you're giving all your needs and they're not being met. You are walking around as a fraction of yourself. So your children are not getting the fullest version of you. Now, again, if you both want to work on it, that is the best part of the story that would be that. But when someone's unwilling, so what I learned was we went out of alignment. And what I came to believe then was, even though the church taught me till death do you part and you're going to hell if you don't, it's okay if you go out of alignment. If one person is not willing to do the work, it is okay to change your mind. It is okay to step out, even though there will be judgment, even though everyone's not going to come with you, even though, you know, people are going to project onto you what their belief system is. And it can be the most courageous thing that you ever do. So for me, it was divorce number two. And I lost a lot of friends. I lost my country club membership. I lost my invitation to a lot of events, but it's okay, because I found, you know, this new tribe. And they say the higher your vibe is, the smaller your tribe is. I still know a million people, but like my inner circle is a lot tighter. And I started going to people, getting support from people that really understood this on a soul level. Like, therapy is important. I think trauma therapy is, I'm always an advocate. That's the work I used to do. I believe in all of it. Your work is beautiful. And when you choose to change, that soul piece is, it's got to be an element, because it's part of the pillar of what you're standing on. And so the soul contract piece. So what I realized over time, and this may be too far out for some of you, and if so, just toss it out and listen to what resonates. But I do believe in karma. I do believe in past lives. That's my belief system. So I saw that there was like a karmic lesson. And for me, this was part of my healing. I saw that there was something that had happened between us in another life. And this was kind of a repayment. And I know it sounds crazy and woo and everything, and it doesn't match anything I was raised with. This is my own evolutionary, you know, belief development. It actually was very healing for me when I understood that and I saw it in my own meditation. Does anger still come up? Hell yeah. Do I still have days where I'm like, you know, when I run into him at the ball field and I'm like, of course, I still get triggered. I'm still in my 3D human body and I still have moments. But when I'm in my highest self and I come out of a meditation where I've tapped into, you know, sacred love, and I've tapped into a place of higher knowing, I can see that this all is playing out for a purpose. And that is what changed everything for me, everything. So it's a matter, you know, you go up and you go down, but that perspective healed me.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I want to go back to the relationships, the friends, things like that. There is one spot when people move out of stage three into stage four, where it is very common. Right. That's when they're going to outgrow their relationships. That lame support group they joined, that's where they outgrew it. The betrayer who won't change, that's where they've outgrown them. So this is where the people around you, they can't control you. And they see, wait a second, you don't believe what we believe. You're different. You've changed and you have. And it doesn't fit their mold anymore. So walk us through that, because people think they are so crazy. And I hear this all the time. What the heck? I've had these friends 10, 20, 30 years. Is it me? Yes, it is. You're undergoing a transformation. And if they don't rise, they don't come. Yeah. Very common to change your friend groups, or relationship groups. Tell us how that happened for you. Like, did people say stuff? Did you just notice it when you were trying to make plans? Like, how did it show up?
Yes. And yes. And yes. And of course I went through it twice. Right. So, and you know, and that's another layer of trauma. When you, I feel like too, when you're, however much your identity was wrapped around that marriage and that identity of that that being who you are, to me, is a level of difficulty that you face, the level of challenge, because you have to unwind, right? So I very much was like his wife, and I very much was a member of this club. So I had to go through it twice. And, you know, you realize, I think a lot of people too, a lot of friends that maybe their marriages are a little rocky, they almost think that it's catching, right? Like they might contract the divorce. So, right. Yeah. It's contagious. That's the word I meant to say. So those people will like kind of pull away from you, which I had noticed twice, and that's interesting. But you know, I kind of started becoming friends with women that were a little bit more rebellious, which I freaking loved. And, you know, rebellion isn't accepted in a lot of circles. And, you know, when you're rule breaking and doing things that are different than what the society has expected from you, it makes people really uncomfortable, especially if they have faced that themselves and have chosen not to, because it's way too uncomfortable for them. And that's okay. That is where they are. I've been there too. And I mean, I have full compassion. So the beautiful part is on this side of it, I have so much compassion for wherever people are. That's the glory in doing the work that I do. And I'm sure you too, like you just have compassion because you know, like it's really hard to get to the next level. But you know, when you do, what I learned was I had to stop caring what everybody thinks. Yeah, I have days where I do. And yeah, I get mad. And yeah, I get mad when I don't get invited to certain weddings and I get FOMO and all the stuff because I'm very social. But what I will say certain affirmations to myself. I'll say, it's not about me. It's not about me. Like that is their comfort level. And the other thing that I know is when you're transforming, if this is resonating with you, what you're actually doing energetically is you're raising your consciousness. And that means you're raising the frequency of your energy body. So that is not comfortable for people that are not choosing to do the work. So them being around you is uncomfortable for them because they are in resistance of their own growth. And it's okay. They may not ever do it, but it's going to be challenging who they are. The ones that are the loudest to you are the ones that are dealing with their own stuff the most.
I love that you're saying that because it's so true. It's like you're holding up a mirror, showing them what they're incapable or unwilling to do at that time. And who wants to see that, right? So the natural response is, what's going on with you? It's you, it's you, it's you. Instead of, you know, turning that mirror right at them and saying, no, it's clearly you. I'm just showing you, I'm just making a choice. And it's forcing you to look at what you're, you know, not ready or not willing to do yourself. So yeah, and I love you how you said that about rebellious friends. Like for me, it was growth-minded friends. Like that's right. Who I started just, you know, loving spending time with because they were on such a different level. It was a different conversation. It was just a whole different way than the like misery loves company crowd. It's a very different conversation you have when you hang out with both. Okay. So you're with these new people now, you have a very different group. You're healing from the second betrayal. Tell us what happened after that.
Yeah. Well, I love that you said growth minded because yes, that's a much cleaner way of saying it. But to me, also people are, they're not doing it the way everyone's done it. So what happened to me was I ended up taking a really deep dive into spiritual studies. And, you know, I was a licensed therapist and I end up becoming more of like a spiritual guide. And so, and I wish, by the way, I'd had your program back when I went through my first divorce.
Me too. It would have
helped. Oh, I'm not even kidding. I wish it because now like I'm like, oh, when you say the steps, I'm like, yes, I've learned that, but it took me 25 years. So anyone that hasn't done it, like it will save you literally, it could save you 20 years. And so I ended up deciding that I was not going to be led by, so one of the biggest things was guilt. So I know that we can unpack a million things here, but what I've learned too with my work with clients is for women, you know, 95% of us walk around feeling guilty 2 to 6 times, sometimes all day. But at least twice a day, this heavy burden of guilt. And so what I started looking at was the resonance of certain levels of consciousness, and the lowest level, the lowest frequency emotion is guilt and shame on, out of David Hawkins, you know, emotional research. And it's what I started learning was we're not meant to stay there. And I felt so guilty. That's what kept me in that marriage for years without leaving, because I felt like, what is this going to say about me? And so I had to really push, to really push through that. And in that it took finding the right support. It took literally turning. And instead of saying, what does everybody else want from me? Even if it means I'm going to be divorced twice, what do I want for myself? What, and this is what I train women on every single day. And it's not something we were trained to do, right? Because usually it's like, what do you want? It's usually, I want my kids and my husband to be happy. That's not about you. That's them, right? What do you want? And this practice of really dropping into the intuition and the soul and dropping out of the guilt, because often what we want will cause a guilt vibration to rise up because we think we're going to disappoint other people. people, right? Because it's not about their needs anymore. It's about ours. Mm-hmm. And pushing through that was a huge kind of membrane of healing to push through. And now I realize we're not meant to hold guilt, because the resonance of it is actually very, very dense, and it doesn't match who we were born as spiritual beings. And so when I recognize guilt coming up, like, that's been one of my biggest practices. Like, I will shake it. I literally just say, I don't do guilt. Oh, there's guilt. Like, no, what else can this be? What's really under it? And so I really learned how to unpack my feelings. Like, I know you're big on feeling it, naming it. Like, and not everyone's willing to do it, but I've been very intentional about naming it now. So you asked what happened to me. So I will say, I actually repeated it a couple more times. I ended up in two other relationships. I did like the twin flame thing and all this crazy stuff. But what ended up happening was I had like a complete deconstruction about 3 years ago, but it came in phases. Right. And so, you know, we're all here to serve at different levels. I know that my service, it's kind of part of what my soul, to be honest, chose to go through. Mm-hmm. And in this last deconstruction, which happened 2 years ago, I mean, of course, during COVID, no coincidence it happened there. I allowed myself to completely come apart from a spiritual level. And so I had done the therapy for years, and I still have a life coach ongoing, just like I have a dentist that cleans my teeth. I still have help. So I started going to shamans, and I started doing like ancestral wounding healing. I started doing a lot of somatic healing, breath work. I did like the deep, like guttural, because I really wanted to serve. And that's not for everybody, but for me to serve at the level that I'm serving at now, like I chose to pass all of that through.
But I love that you're bringing that up, because I always say healing happens. You need to heal physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And so many of us that, you know, will choose, oh, I'll go see a therapist. Let's say, okay, that's the mental and emotional, but the issues are in the tissues. I mean, this stuff is deep and it's in there. And whether it is ancestral, or, you know, whether it's this generation or 30 before then, this stuff needs to be cleared. And in doing so, you realize, number one, who you are, number two, you know, who you want. And I love that you brought up guilt, because I think so many of us, especially women, and I want to minimize anything that the guys are going through, but especially women, we're so conditioned to feel guilty. Yeah. And the idea, I mean, think about how bizarre it sounds that you're supposed to feel guilty about wanting something.
Yeah. Right. In and responsible for everybody else.
Does that make sense? Right. So, okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. Oh no, it's a strong imprint. And, you know, research does show that women carry guilt more than men, and not that men don't, and I agree, like I coach men too, like, but that is the truth, because we are imprinted. It's literally, cause you're not born that way. I mean, think about babies. As a little baby, you didn't feel guilt. You screamed, you emoted, you reached for what you wanted. You screamed that is actually how you're wired. I mean, we learn how to regulate that emotional response, but guilt was taught to you. You should do, you shouldn't do, you should do, you shouldn't do. And, you know, that is part of the rewiring coming out of it. So now, you know, I ended up doing this very deep work, and I tapped into, like, I've been able to tap into these really high frequencies that have brought me to a place where when I'm at my highest self, I even can actually have compassion for my abuser. I can have compassion for the one that betrayed me, the one that cheated on me. And I know that it all, it's like, you know, Viktor Frankl, you know, wrote the book about man's search for meaning. There is truth to that. Like, once you do your trauma work, do your therapy work, do your mind, body, soul work, but once you get to the spirit work, it's like, if you can come up, and it's just part of the process, and you see a big picture, and you can not be so entrenched in the details, but for a while you need to. If you're just going through it, sister, you need to tell your story, put words to it. But, you know, as I got out and pulled up, you know, hawk is my spirit animal. So hawk talks, it teaches us how to really see things from bird's eye view. And once you can get to that perspective, and you're not lost in staring at the tiny little hole in the ground and wanting to tell a million stories about how that little hole got there, it changed my life. And it's like, I have so much more peace now. So the way that came is through a practice, putting myself first, even when my kids are mad that I'm going on another retreat, or that I'm closing my door because my kids now are 15, 15, and 13. You know, I tell them, I want you to learn this in your life. I want you to learn how to put yourself first. You know, I teach them where to feel it in your body. I've learned how, and when I can't do it myself, I call up someone, whether that's a bestie or my coach or my intuitive or my astrologer, whoever it is that I really feel like I can trust to ground me again and help me pass those stuck points.
And what a beautiful practice, because think about it. If any of your kids were struggling, wouldn't you want them to do exactly what you're doing now? So you're setting such a beautiful example, because it's not like things won't be happening to them, but you're giving them the skills and the tools and the strategies. So when they go through whatever challenges they're going to face in their life, they know they need to take time for themselves. They shouldn't feel guilty. It's a waste of their time. All those things. So beautiful. Way to go, mama.
Okay. Well, thanks. Well, I'm parenting in such a different way than I was taught, but you know, my mom was doing what she was taught. So now we do. And I will tell you, that has been, I am so grateful to be able to teach my kids in this frequency that I'm in, especially cause I have two boys and you know, my daughter, you may have got all of it, but you get to teach from both lenses. Right. So I get to teach them about emotion and not shoving it and not feeling guilty and not holding it. And I really teach them to honor. And that, as a parent, that's been tough, because like my needs weren't that honored. Like it was like, no, here's what I want for you. Here's what you're going to do. Like, cause that's what they were taught. Right. And so now, I mean, and your kids will teach you too. They'll tell you. And I'm like, they're also my teachers. And I really honor. And I say, well, what do you really want? If I don't force my kids to do things, if they really, 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 really like, if they're going to dread it. But anyway, I digress. So that's a whole nother show, the parenting piece, but it is part of it. And I feel very blessed to be able to teach them that. And, you know, that daily practice of honoring yourself, I'm such a better me. Like this morning before I came on, I put on binaural beats. I just ask Alexa to play binaural beats. It's a tone that sets like a higher frequency in your body. Mm-hmm. I teach them too every morning before we go to school. I do deep breathing. There are very simple things. Here's the thing. Yes, the journey has complexities, but these tactics that can ground you are actually very simple. It's a matter of us unbelieving that it has to be that hard. Yes, parts of it are hard. Yes, the betrayal and the trauma are hard, but walking outside. So I walk outside at least 3 times a day barefoot and ground into the earth. It's scientifically proven that the earth neutralizes all the positive ions through a negative ionic exchange, and it balances you. You don't have to know any of the science, but if you're feeling stressed, take your shoes off, go walk around on any patch of grass and just take deep breaths. It will completely balance your nervous system. And
Yes. And I would say if you're in a location where that's not an option, get a grounding mat. You can do that too. You plug it in, it connects to whatever it needs to, and it works the same way. So there's really no excuse not to. And nature is hugely healing. Right. So that's it. I love how you said that, where yes, the betrayal and moving through all of that is hard. Those strategies that you implemented, all the spiritual stuff, the grounding, the nature, you know, those types of things don't have to be. They are different though. So you need to be willing to do something a little bit different in order to have something very different. And hopefully, you know, so much better for you. So where are you at? Tell us how all of these practices brought you to where you are now.
Yeah. Well, the nature thing has been honestly the game changer for me. And that is, I mean, it's imperative. It is imperative that you, even if it just means that you're imagining it, because you know, your body doesn't know the difference between what you're actually doing and what you're imagining, to be honest. If you can't get to a place and you're trapped somewhere, but even just imagining yourself in flow in a forest. So I have a little trail by my house. It's part of my daily practice. You could call it forest bathing. I go and I immerse myself, and there's a cleansing that happens. There's an exchange of energy with the earth. That has been, I have a little garden now. Like there have been things that I've implemented that I never would have ever thought, but, and it's free, right? So all that has led to now, being a life coach, a spiritual mentor, mostly for women that have gone through a lot of these, usually it's someone that's been divorced and they're through the trauma. And it's a matter of teaching you like to come back to your intuitive centers, to come back to yourself. I always bring women back to earth. Like that is Mother Earth. It is a real thing. There is real power embedded there for us. And, you know, I teach in my programs and retreats. Because that's what's helped me. I help women have like non-negotiables in their life, like putting yourself first, because the women that you're talking about, I'm sure you work with, they're badass women that are out there moving and grooving. And so that's the other thing, like women that are really powerful, like we're doing it at work, but then at home, we tend to, oftentimes we're just not tending to that garden. Right. And so putting yourself first can be the most uncomfortable thing that you do. And I mean, like taking the time to tend to what your body needs, listening to what your body needs, what your soul needs, and then actually taking the time to do it. not taking your clients all weekend, like having a day where you're not working. And that most of my clients are like, a lot of times, you know, they're coping by taking, you know, there's just never any downtime. And they'll say, you know, Joe Dispenza says you should meditate for 15 minutes. If you can't, you should meditate. If you don't have time, you should meditate for an hour. It's like a, you know, a thing. But it's a matter of really dropping the guilt again. Like it is that this journey of learning how to put self first, because then what happens is you establish gusto that you didn't have before, where whether or not you return to that relationship and rebuild, where you will not, and this is the word that is huge for me, you will not make yourself available for a certain dynamic anymore. Yeah. And you've taken ownership for your side of it. Not that you caused any of it. I don't mean that, but what are you allowing and what are you making yourself available for? And what are your new standards? And that can only come through self-love practice and rebuilding yourself from the inside out based on your intuitive needs. Beautiful. And what is sacred within you.
Yeah. What do you want to, as we wrap up, what do you want to make sure everybody knows?
Well, what just came up when I said intuitive, and we didn't touch on this, well, we may have, but I want you to know that you actually know the answers. Like we are teaching you things that we have found through our research. I know you've got just years of research, and it's, you're going to have, when you get there, it's going to be the right place for you. Cause you're going to have an aha moment. There's going to be a knowing within you. So I just want to remind you, you actually know inside, you've just gone through things that have covered it up. You've gone through things that have set you into a place of, where you're detached, right? You're separate from your internal knowing. So all of these practices, all of this, these frameworks bring you back to that place. And what's on the other side is you returning to that piece where you're reconnected again, because you're a very strong, powerful being that has sacred knowing within you. And I promise you, as fractured as you feel right now, when you do this work, you will reconnect to that part in you. And there are limitless possibilities of where you can go with that newfound, transformed.
Love that. And everybody who's listening, watching, look, you know my story. If I could do it, so can you. You just heard Karen. If she could do it, so can you. It takes willingness, because both of us, I'm sure, had every right to say, no, we've been betrayed and life stinks and woe is us, right? But you can also use it as an opportunity to create a version of you that never would have had the opportunity to be created had it not happened. As I always say, that's trauma well served. Karen, where do we go to learn more about you and the great work you do?
So I'm at drkarin.com, and you just have to spell the word doctor out. And Karin is K-A-R-I-N. I'm also Dr. Karin on Facebook, Instagram. I have programs and retreats, and I do one-on-one work as well. And I'm obsessed with what you're doing. So whoever you go to, just go to someone that you feel like you can trust and resonate with. And if I resonate with you, I'd love to hear from you.
I want to thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for just really showing everybody possibility, because it's, you know, they need to see, we all need to see examples of these are things that happen in life. It's not that we're going to stop what happens. It's always what we do with it. And you gave such a beautiful example of a lot of things that happened and what you did with it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
There were so many things I loved about that conversation, like the realization that we're responsible for our own lives. When we fully believe that, we've just gone from being a passenger to the driver of our lives. Stay in touch with Dr. Karin by going to drkarin.com, and we'll have all of her information in the show notes at thepbtinstitute.com/podcast. Here's my biggest takeaway, a great reminder: putting yourself first isn't selfish, it's sacred. And stop wasting your time with all that guilt. Find the right support to help you get to a more elevated energy, because guilt and shame are not only draining, they're wreaking havoc on your body and your mind. Then start doing some things that feel right to you. Nature, exercise, being with like-minded, growth-oriented friends, pets, somatic body-based practices, and whatever that is for you. And if old friendships start to fall away because of your changes, then realize you're growing, send them love, and keep going. The ones who are meant to stay will. Like the show? Share it with a friend. How? From your phone, just take a screenshot of the podcast and share it with someone you know who'd benefit. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to be with you next time, and here's to your breakthrough.